you, worship team.
It's working. Can you hear me? Is it working? You can hear me. Okay. I can't hear anything. You know, I think I'm deaf in this ear, and I can't hear very well out of this one. There, now I can hear me. Where am I listening to my... This was great this morning. Now you get to hear from me. We're going to pray. One fan. We're going to pray this morning. And I want you to add to your list Nella Hageman. Nella's just not feeling well. And we need to lift her up in prayer and continue to do that. And as well as all the other health needs. And let's pray together as a congregation. Father God, we thank you that we can come together and we can pray to you and we can extol to you praise. We, Lord, have sung to you, have thine own way, and that is our prayer. Even as we come to pray to you, God, there are so many health needs right within this room. Lord, we think of Rose and Inga and Ken and Murray and Hertha and Jenny and Lori and Gladys. And Lord, now we lift Nella to you as well. And we pray, Lord, have thine own way. As we do that, God, we know that that means various things in various ways and various emotions, various struggles, various joys. And so, God, we lift these people to you. And we pray, Father, that you would be with them. That you would be with each family member. Give them courage and strength as they walk alongside someone who is not feeling just right or hurting or in pain. Father, we think of those who are unable to be here today, and we think of Elizabeth Neal and Mary Warkentine and Annette Kreider and Sophie Zielinski. We lift them to you, God, and pray that you would encourage them today, encourage them throughout this week. And Father, we think of those who are grieving, including the Dorton family and the passing of Catherine's grandmother. And Lord, we pray that you'd be close to them and comfort them. And give to that family, Lord, an understanding that you are a God who comforts and a God of peace. Lord, we thank you that we can be part of the ministry that you're doing in Prince Albert. And so, Father, we pray that you would be with each and every congregation this morning that's worshiping you. We pray, Father, that you bless them, that you bless us. And we pray, Lord, that you would be praised and that you would be glorified. And that you be honored in all that we say and do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, it's great to come and impart the Word of God this morning. I'm talking this morning about why dream. And maybe some of you are questioning that even now. Why are we dreaming? Or why did I have that dream last night? Some of you maybe woke up in the middle of the night and you thought, okay now, where am I? Where am I seated? Am I at home? Am I away? Oh, and then you looked at the person beside you and screamed and yelped. And we're going to talk about dreaming this morning. How many of you have a dream? Great. How many of you dream, though, at night? Okay. Some of you are dreaming right now. I wish she'd just quit asking us to raise our hands. Our God-given dreams vary for us individually, but as a church, how many of you enjoy dreaming together? Come on. How many of you enjoy dreaming together? Come on. Oh. How many of you enjoy dreaming about where God is taking us? There we go. Praise God. Dreams vary. They're always different. Like, I could have a dream. Joan could have a dream. Like, Joan, for instance, she's excited because we're going to go to Turkey in 2.5 weeks on a mission trip. That's a dream fulfilled for her. And that means that I'm going overseas, so that's a dream fulfilled for her. No, dreams. Dreams vary. It's like this young wife, Bridget and her husband, Harry, they're sitting at the breakfast table, and Bridget is excited because it's Valentine's Day. And her husband, Harry, he typically does something very special, very momentous on this kind of occasion. And on this particular morning, Bridget says to Harry, I just dreamt that you gave me a diamond necklace for Valentine's Day. What do you think it means? Harry smirked a little bit. He said, you'll know tonight. That evening, Harry arrived home and carried with him a little small package. He was giddy, as all husbands get. And Bridget goes, what's that behind your back? Is this your Valentine's gift? She says, are you serious? Sienna pulls it out from behind his back, and he says, my darling, here's the answer to your dream. She can hardly contain herself with such delight. She rips the package open, finds a book entitled The Meaning of Dreams. Yeah. You wives are going like this. I don't know what kind of dream you have, but I hope that when we're done that you'll have an excitement that cannot be contained but contagious. Because a dream gives us hope for the future, and it also brings us power in the present. Why dream? Why dream? Because dreaming requires releasing. I invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13 is the story of Abraham and Lot. Genesis 13. And I'm going to start by looking at verse 8. So Abram, Genesis 13, verse 8. Genesis 13, verse 8 says, so Abram said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. That's called agreeing, isn't it? Let me give you just a little background to the story, in case you don't know it. Abram had really blessed his nephew Lot. He'd given him cattle, he'd given him land, and they both had grown so much that now the land that they were living on together didn't have enough grass to feed all their cattle. And so their herdsmen were fighting with each other over whose cattle was going to get the grass. Some same kind of stuff that people fight over today. Lawns. I mean, they weren't any different than us. They just lived in a different time. And so Abram, being a very wise man, knowing the danger of strife, he went to his nephew Lot. And he said, I'll tell you what. We can't have strife between us. And so you choose whichever part of the Jordan Valley you want, and I'll take what's ever left. You see, Abram, he didn't have to do that. Because he was actually the boss. He could have said, I'm taking the good part, and you can have the leftovers. Because if it hadn't been for me, you wouldn't have had anything anyway. But you see, Abram didn't have one thing. That was a bad... what? Attitude. A dream without a positive attitude produces a daydreamer. You know, you sit in school. I can hardly wait till the preacher's done. School. I can hardly wait till the professor's done. I can hardly wait till I get to my next class. I can hardly wait till tonight when I bring home the Meaning of Dreams book. Daydream. A person who has a dream knows what he's willing to give up in order to go up. He knows what he's willing to release so that God can do. Abraham decided to have a generous attitude. He decided to have a giving attitude because apparently Abraham believed that you could not outgive God. And apparently Abraham believed if you were good to people that you would never lose out. And so sure enough, Lot chose the best part of the Jordan Valley. And Abram got left with stuff that really wasn't all that great. But God took him up to the top of a mountain. Look at verse 14, of chapter 13. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, "Lift up your eyes from where you are." Now I want to stop right there. I want to make a point out of that. Look from the place where you are. God didn't say, look where you are. He said, look beyond where you are. Come on, some of you are just looking at where you are right now. All you talk about is where you are. You need to look beyond the place where you are. Why? Because God wants us to make progress. He wants us to dream. He wants us to look ahead. Look from the place where you are. North, south, east, west. They sang that this morning. Shout to the north and the south. Look at verse 15. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring temporarily. What does it say? Forever. All the land in which you see, I will give to you and your prosperity forever. We are a people who are hardwired. My mouth's getting dry. For progress. And we're never going to be happy and content without progressing. It's said that when Spanish composer, the cellist Pablo Casals was in the final years of his life, a young reporter asked him this question, "Mr. Casals, you are 95 years old." That'll be Fred Winterburn tomorrow. "And the greatest cellist that ever lived. You're 95 years old and you are the greatest one that ever lived. Why do you still practice 6 hours a day?" What was Cassell's answer? "Because I think I'm making progress." That's the kind of attitude that we need. No matter where you may be starting from, don't be discouraged. Everyone who got where he is started where he was. Thank you, Mr. Christine. You are a blessing. That was a dream I had at the very beginning of the sermon. It's a commercial break for water. Don't be discouraged where you're standing. John Maxwell said, "When our attitudes outdistance our abilities, even the impossible becomes possible." Do you believe that? You want to do a little dreaming on purpose. You want to just get some lemonade or soda pop or a glass of good cold water. That's nice and cold. Some iced tea. Sit yourself down. Take a long sip. And have a dream session. Say, "Okay, God, what would you like to see happen in my life?" Write a few things down. Habakkuk says, write down the vision and write it down so plain that everybody who passes by it can see. some things down on paper. Have a journal. Write down some things that you're believing God to do in your life. Have a plan. Have a purpose. Don't be vague. And don't just stand around and say, I'm okay. I'm waiting to see what God's going to do. Have you told him what you'd like to see? Maybe your vision is to get your house cleaned up. Maybe it's to get out of debt. This is a good vision. Doesn't always have to be some big spiritual thing that you're believing God for. Maybe you don't have a vision to run all over the world and preach the gospel. I'm not talking about just spiritual visions. Have a goal. Have a dream. God has given us the ability to look from where we are, and that's why we dream, because when we look from where we are, we release where we're at. Can somebody shout amen this morning? All right, thank you. You get a penny when you leave. Why dream? Because dreaming is the only thing I know that allows us to release where we're at. Dreaming requires releasing, but dreaming also requires believing. I invite you to turn over to Romans chapter 4. So we're going to look at verse 18 there. Romans chapter 4. It's in the New Testament. And I'll find it. Don't worry, I know where it is. Romans chapter 4, verse 8. 18, sorry. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. You see, believing is better described as hope. You know, hope is an incredible emotion. It's a powerful tool that God has instilled within us to accomplish the impossible. You dream when you have somewhere that you want to progress to and something that you want to do in life. And so the Bible says, Romans 14, against all hope. In fact, the Message Bible puts it so well. It says, when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. Wow. I love those kind of people that no matter how bad their condition is, you just cannot take their hope away from them. I believe hope is powerful. Hope keeps us going. And I think a lot of people are trying to have faith and they don't even have hope. I believe that some hopeless people try to believe God, but what happens if you're hopeless? You're negative. Your thoughts are negative. Your talk is negative. You're basing everything on the way things have been and the way things are, not the way they can be if you release your faith and believe God. Amen? Got a few people that agree with me. The more alive you look, the better I'll preach. Sorry. Pastor Jeremy's going, oh, Deb. What do you see? I am. Yeah, he's dreaming. Yeah. What do you see? I want you to turn to the person next to you and say to them, and make them look at you when you say it, what do you see for your life? Do that right now. What do you see for your life? Okay, that's enough. I mean, it should be so much that if you told them, if you answered that question, that it would shock people. Say it with me, my future's so bright. My future's so bright. Say it with me. My future's so bright. I need sunglasses to look at it. I need sunglasses to look at it. Amen? Whew. So often we get this give up attitude, which, by the way, is a bad attitude. This is too hard for me. I just can't do it anymore. This is too much for me. It's too hard. Joan says, quit whining and get dressed and go to work. This is too hard is one of the most frequent excuses that we hear. It's too hard to exercise. Too hard to do that ministry. Too hard to study. It's too hard to pray. It's too hard to stay in a relationship that maybe is not real pleasant right now. But you believe God can work some things out if you stick with it. But it gets hard. I'd be in a mess right now if Joan Seegers had said 22 years ago, oh, I wasn't banking on this stuff. It's too hard. I'm out of here. I think we give up too easy. We have a wimpy, whiny attitude. We give up too easy because we stop dreaming. Attitude is our choice. Whether attitude is good, whether it's bad, we choose it. Our attitude determines our altitude. In other words, it determines how high or how far we go in life. We are free to choose our attitude. Viktor Frankl, survivor of a Nazi concentration camp, he gives credibility to our choice as he said this, "The last of the human freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances." A survivor of a Nazi concentration camp. It's our choice to replace bad attitudes with good attitude. I'm encouraging you to not just to make a decision today. I'm encouraging you to change your life. To make a decision by saying, by the grace and mercy of God, I am not going to look at this situation this way anymore. You can choose to believe that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called to go according to His purpose. I tell you, when that becomes a life theme for you, there's a peace that overwhelms you. You enjoy life. And I want to tell you, God wants you to enjoy your life. He does. I confess to you that I spent too many years, even as a Christian, not enjoying my life. And that is just not God's will for us. I mean, He wants us to enjoy our life, and so to enjoy our life, that means we have to learn to have a good attitude even when there are things going on that we don't like. Because if we think that we can only enjoy ourselves on the days when everything is going our way, guess what? We're never going to get around to having much joy in our life, are we? That's what we need to dream. Look from the place where you are. I have a dream. It's a God-given dream. It's greater than any one of my gifts. It's as large as the world, and I know I can't accomplish it alone. Can we dream together? Let's dare to dream. Let's act on the dream. Let's do the dream in spite of problems, despite circumstances, and even great obstacles that get in the way. Let's begin pursuing the dream today. Let's pray. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, maybe you're thinking about dreaming. Did you realize that in order to dream, you have to release and let go and let God? That's what Abram did. He knew he needed to be generous and give it away. Lot chose selfishly his own desire and chose what seemed better. Abram was blessed because he released and let go and let God. But Abram also believed because he had hope. Hope of where God was taking him and what God was going to do and how God was going to do it. Maybe this morning you need to just rekindle the dream. Because God has given every one of us a dream. Maybe for you today you need to rekindle the dream. Or maybe you need to thank God that the dream is happening. But come to him. Talk to him. Speak to him. Maybe you want to say, Lord, I want to dream again. So I've been lacking at looking forward. I've only been looking where I'm at. I need to dream again. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you're coming to God that way, just lift your hand. Just lift it up. Lord bless you, 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 Lord. God sees all those hands. God sees them. Maybe this morning you've heard about how God has called us to progress. I want to tell you about Jesus Christ, because Jesus progressed to the point of dying on a cross for us so that we could be free to choose to love him and worship him and ask him into our hearts so that we could have heaven, the assurance of heaven. Maybe this morning, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, you've heard it maybe many times, or maybe this is the first time you've heard it, that you need to come to God and say, Lord, I want you, Jesus, in my heart right now, because I want the assurance of heaven. You just need to say, God, I just want you in. I want you in right now. I want the assurance of heaven. Just enter into my heart, enter into my life. Forgive me for where I've failed you and done bad things. I just want you to cleanse me, and I give you myself today. That's a gift, tremendous gift that helps you enjoy life. Take him today. Father, it's so glorious that you allow us to dream marvelous dreams. Father, it's so great that you stand us on a mountaintop when we release everything to you. You stand us up there. You say, look from where you are. Lord, we pray for the mountaintop. We pray that you take us there. We pray, Lord, that we would release whatever it is that's standing in the way from you using us and blessing us, so that we would hope thou in God, hope in you, so that we may truly believe God, the giver of all dreams. Pray this to your glory, in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, Amen.